The Church Media Podcast, episode number 68, How to Create a Compelling Sermon Series with Justin Trapp. Let's do it.
Hey there. Welcome to the Church Media Podcast.
The definitive podcast for helping you create dynamic experiences and build solid media productions in your church.
We're bringing you knowledge and insight from top media professionals from around the world. Useful, practical content in the areas of live production, design, leadership, digital communications, and more.
The show notes for this episode and all archive episodes of the show are available online at 1230media.com/podcast.
And now, broadcasting from the ministry headquarters of 1230 Media, here's your host, Church Media Coach Carl Barnhill.
Hey guys, thanks for listening to the podcast. I'm Carl Barnhill, your host, hanging out with you each and every week. Fresh episodes of the podcast every Monday for you. And we're bringing you the best minds in the church media space. We're helping you create memorable experiences and build solid volunteer teams at your church. This week, I welcome Justin Trapp from Ministry Pass to the show. Justin comes from a ministry background, serving as a pastor and in other roles for the local church for years. He's the founder and owner of Ministry Pass. They produce sermon series graphics and content for thousands of churches around the world. He'll share with us today some tips and tricks for creating a compelling sermon series. Everything from planning to topics, outlines, prep work, resources, and more. I'm thrilled to have him on this week and can't wait for you to hear from him. My interview with Justin right after this.
And now, your church media resource of the week.
Software, websites, gadgets, and tools that will resource your creativity and your ministry.
Howdy, this is James Wassum from Great Church Sound with this week's Church Media Resource. Digital mixing consoles can seem very intimidating for the novice or new sound system volunteer, so having some training materials ready and available for them is very helpful. I've got a few recommendations for training videos that will work great for some of the more popular digital mixing consoles. For the Behringer X32, you might want to check out Drew Brashler's series on YouTube. You can search for it by typing in Drew Brashler and browse through several videos that he's got available on his channel. Or you can go to dbbaudio.com. Yamaha has also created a great series of training videos and other materials available under their training section of the website. Simply go to yamahaproaudio.com, select the training tab, and then go through the self-training menu for access to all the various consoles and training materials, including videos for each one of them. Alan and Heath has also made available several product videos. You can go to alan-heath.com, look up your console by the model number, and then select the Videos tab. You can also find several videos from the Alan and Heath UK YouTube channel. And I've put together a list of several free console training videos, including many more consoles that are available. You can find those, again, for free at greatchurchsound.com/videos. I hope that's helpful, and I hope it helps you get your sound team volunteers up to speed quickly on your digital console.
For more free resources for your team, visit 1230media.com/training. This is an exclusive interview from 1230 Media and Carl Barnhill. Get shareable content and free resources for your team at 1230media.com/podcast. Here's Carl now.
Hey guys, and welcome on the line, Justin Trapp. Justin is a pastor and entrepreneur. He has a passion for serving the local church and has done so in various full-time and part-time roles over the years. In 2014, he founded Ministry Pass, which is an organization geared toward empowering and serving the local church. Their resources have been used by over 40,000 church leaders, and Justin has been featured on Christianity Today and Pastors.com, Sermon Central, Ministry Today, and others. Justin, welcome, man. Thanks for jumping on the podcast with me, man.
Hey, man. Carl, great to hear from you. Good to be with your listeners. Thanks for having me.
Yeah, no, we do some stuff in the similar space, so I get to see all your emails and all your stuff, and man, you guys are creating some wonderful content over at Ministry Pass. I'm so excited for the Big C Church as a whole to be receiving great content from guys like you.
Oh, thanks, man. We are definitely having a lot of fun working and partnering with church leaders. So I'm glad to be here, glad to be serving church leaders.
Now, tell me a little bit about yourself and the journey that you've been on the last few years.
Sure. So when I was 11, I felt like God called me into ministry. I was at a youth camp. I burned my eye. They did fireworks the first night. And I remember two things. I burned my eye that week, and I was going to the nurse's station every day. And then God called me on the last night to do ministry. And so I worked towards ministry. I was very involved. And I went into full-time vocational ministry at age 19. The interesting thing was, though, I was very entrepreneurial and kind of a creative guy. And in the denomination that I grew up in, that I served in vocationally, you really have like three tracks. You have your senior pastor, youth pastor, and kids pastor. And there really isn't a lot of other lanes for you to drive in, so to speak. And so over time, after being a pastor, and I went associate pastor, I really, the pastor I was serving, he wanted to plant a church. He said, go with me to Dallas. And my wife and I didn't feel like that's what the Lord called us to do. So we stepped out of vocational ministry, and I just started working alongside churches, volunteering at my local church, and then just partnering with pastors over the last few years. And then last year, 2014, hey, time flies, doesn't it? 2014, my wife had just found out that we were pregnant with our first child, and I was scheduled to go to Madagascar. And I wasn't able to attend her first ultrasound appointment, and so I had to do it FaceTime. And thankfully, Steve Jobs and Apple created this, you know, beautiful piece of technology called an iPhone, and I was able to attend my wife's ultrasound appointment over FaceTime halfway around the world. And then there was just something that happened, though, in that moment. I heard his heartbeat. It was amazing. I got off the phone. And, you know, you've probably been there, Carl, and a lot of your people listening have, and you're doing so many things, and life is crazy, but you're young, you're in your mid to late 20s, you can handle it. And all of a sudden, you hear your son's heartbeat for the first time, and you realize, these are not priorities, these are priorities. Yeah. And I really felt like in that moment, God, for the next few days, God impressed upon me, you need to launch Ministry Pass. You need to do this idea, this dream that I've given you, and you need to do it before the baby comes. And so that was in May, and in October, we launched our launch day event with Mark Batterson. It's crazy.
Wow, man, that's incredible. Yeah, I have two of my own, and it definitely changes your priorities. Kids, and you do realize, man, if I really need to follow after what God's, or, you know, just puts things in different perspective for you. That is, that's so true. Well, tell me more about Ministry Pass. How did you guys get started? What resources, do you guys provide on the site?
Sure. So, I'll back up a little bit. I had a marketing company. We did a lot of custom work like you, like your company does, sermon bumpers. We did graphics, we did travel campaigns for churches, and I did this all with no website, had a ton of referrals, and then we came out with a website and started getting lots of calls from church leaders and pastors, but they weren't for larger churches, medium to large-sized churches who I'd been serving. They were a pastor at a church in New Caney, Texas of 70 people, a pastor in, South Carolina with 120 people. And so everyone that started calling us needed help and wanted help and needed resources to really help them save time and be more and still be more effective. And so that was kind of the idea that our Ministry Pass came out of those conversations with those pastors. And what we do is we create a library. We're approaching 700 resources right now. And it's basically a sermon series library. So if you like doing series, your church does series, we create these ready to use, download them, plug and play sermon series. We give you the sermon guides, all the preaching materials you need, the planning materials, planning content, and then promotional stuff as well. So that I like to say Ministry Pass is a three-phase resource, planning, preaching, promotion.
Very cool. Again, you guys are providing some incredible stuff. I've been loving seeing your emails and seeing the content that you guys provide. All right, so we're all about helping churches create amazing experiences week in, week out, how to do audio, video, lighting, stage design, volunteer culture, all that good stuff, all right? So I'd love to steer our conversation today into talking about the majority of our worship service and events, and that is a message. So we spend probably at least 30 minutes in our worship service with a speaker or pastor on stage delivering a message. And so I'd love to get your thoughts on how to create a compelling sermon series. Now, you have a couple of free resources for churches and creative teams. One's called the Sermon Writing Toolkit, and the other's called the Sermon Series Planner. Give me an overview of these resources, why you provide them, and how'd you produce them?
Sure. So one of our goals is to be helpful first and foremost to church leaders. The Sermon Writing Toolkit is really designed for the leader that writes sermons. It formulates a process for you to go through, ask you questions, and says, on day one, do this. On day two, do this. What questions are you wanting to answer with the sermon? What are the topics? What are the felt needs? So it really kind of helps pastors create a system for their sermon writing. That's the Sermon Writing Toolkit. It's free. I'm sure you'll be able to put the link in the show notes.
Yeah.
And then the Sermon Series Planner is really more of a team sort of work guide, if you will. And so that worksheet or that download goes beyond just the actual writing of the sermon. It's really the whole creative spectrum that's involved, from stage design to creative elements, to sort of illustrations. And basically, everything that would involve the sermon series, we put it in this planner so that teams and pastors can use this to help them be more efficient and effective when they're producing these sermon series.
Now, we'll post these PDFs so you can download them for free at 1230media.com/068 is the number of this episode. So be sure to go there. Justin will give me the links, and we'll post that so that you can walk through the Sermon Series Planner or the Sermon Writing Toolkit by yourself right there at your church and implement it. So, all right, so Justin, tell me where to start. What are the first few questions that we should be asking? Let's walk through that Sermon Series Planner.
Sure. Well, before we even get into that, let me say this, Carl. You mentioned that the majority of our services in America on the weekend is taken up by the sermon, by the message, by a sermon series.
Yeah.
And one of the things that I've been just really kind of fleshing out, talking with a few other creatives, is that this thought that the sermon is the most underutilized sort of time resource. Excuse me, what am I trying to say?
Real
estate.
The
most underutilized thing that we do. So, pastors,
so true.
74% of pastors, we just did some internal surveys, 74% of pastors spend 6 to 15 hours a week on their sermon. And then it's only reserved for the podium. And so, as we're working through our series, as we're working through our sermons, I think it'd be really helpful to our community, to our people, to our teams, if we're able to take that sermon that we've invested so much time into and break that out outside the podium, whether it's quotes with unsplashed images, whether it's
blog posts,
blog posts.
Yeah.
You can use rev.com for that. Emails, video highlights, a 2-minute video. Really, series and sermons are vastly underutilized. I think the church could do a lot better job at taking what we've spent 15 hours on and getting so much more juice out of that fruit, if you will.
Yeah, that's very good.
Of the first questions that I ask, though, when we start doing a series, is first of all, what is our church, what is our community going through? What do they need to hear? What have they heard? Have they just had evangelistic? Have they just had a series on grace? Have we been really heavy on one subject? Have we not spoken about a topic or something in particular for 3 years now? oh, you know, I think we need to say, Lord, what would you speak to our church, to our body? And then you start there. And the first question is, what will the series be about? Is it materialism, generosity, time management? And you can list those things out. I think the pastor can inform that. A team can inform that. But it really just kind of simply starts there. The second thing that I think that is really important is, what are you trying to accomplish with this series? What is the felt need? You know, people in your churches are facing huge needs, you know, needs that the gospel can meet. And so as you approach every series, whether you're a person or a team or whoever, you have to ask, what is the felt need that we're targeting? What are we trying to resolve here? What are we trying to tackle? And then you build all the creatives around that. Carl, I don't know if you've done this, but I know I've done this, especially early on. I see a cool graphic, or, you know, I can't even believe I'm admitting this here. I see a cool graphic, or you hear an illustration, and then we begin to build a series around that.
Yeah.
And I think while that's not necessarily wrong, I think it might not be the most optimum way to build a series. We start with, Lord, what are you speaking? If there's tragedy locally or even nationally, maybe we pause and we do a series, for 2 weeks on something. But I think really the felt need is super important when you're first starting out. So that would be the first things that I would say that you go through in the planning.
What about your target audience? How do you determine that? And do you alienate people if you just do a marriage series and half your audience is not married? How do you determine that?
That's such a great question. Because, in marketing, they say the more you can target a specific niche audience, the better. Because your messaging becomes so much more powerful. If you're trying to serve everybody, you're really serving nobody effectively. And so I think with a series like a marriage series, you can have different aspects throughout the series that target the different people groups or the different audiences. So a couple that's been married 40 years, how do you bring adventure and joy and newness and freshness to that relationship? What does the Bible say about some of those things? Or if you're a new couple, or if you're a struggling couple, or if you're dating. I mean, there's so many different things that you could tackle. It doesn't have to be an entire sermon, but you just have to be aware and cognizant of the fact that there's probably 10 different types of niche audiences in the room when you talk about marriage itself. And so what does the Bible say about that? How can you help each group? How can you spend a few moments talking to the couple who's been married for 40 years and really hit a home run with them? Even if they don't hear anything else, what can you do for that few moments that really speaks to them?
How do you determine how many weeks your series should be? So would you be in a creative meeting and say, man, I think instead of 3 weeks, I think we can squeeze 5 weeks out of this? Or maybe you say on the flip side, we don't need to really, beat that drum too much. Let's back it down to 2 or 3 weeks. How do you determine that?
I think seasonal stuff really matters. So holidays, I think, are shorter series. Going from January to April, you could probably get away with longer series. From September to Thanksgiving, you could get away with a few longer series. If I had an ideal world, Carl, I always like to start with an introduction. Because adults learn on as-need-to-know basis. And if we're telling them, if we're preaching, if we're teaching about things that they don't care about or don't know they should care about them, then we're just talking on a stage with a projector behind us.
Yeah.
So I like to really set up a framework, a sort of gauge, if you will, or a thermostat for the series up front before we get into the weeks. And so if I'm able to do that, I like doing that. So we're going to talk about 4 different things. I like a 5-week series. Because the first week, you're really setting up tension. If you watch Jimmy Fallon, or if you watch, like, football's coming out, let's do this. Sunday Night Football comes on, and they're teasing out next week. They're saying next week, Peyton Manning's retired now. So Cam Newton, you know, can he bounce back? And Tom Brady, the Patriots are riddled with injury, and this is going to be a great game, folks. We don't know what's going to happen. Well, I was already probably going to watch that game, but now I'm really excited to watch it.
Right.
And tension is all that is. And so I think the introductory week in a series can serve as a week to set tension and not resolve it so that people want to come back. So they're now emotionally, spiritually, mentally invested in what they're about to learn.
That's good. Now, this might be a good place to talk about your sermon calendars. You guys offer that just to kind of help people plan out their sermon and their series at work. Explain what those are and what they offer.
Sure. So one of the things that I realized in talking with a lot of pastors, I talk to bivocational pastors all the time, is they don't have a lot of time. And preaching stresses them out. Preaching can be overwhelming at times. In fact, we did an internal survey, Carl. We had over 1,700 pastors respond, and only 9% of pastors plan a few months ahead in their sermon.
Wow.
Only 9%. So I was thinking about it the other day, and I started Googling, and would you know it, I found, so 74% of people, adults in America, live paycheck to paycheck.
Mm.
And 79%. I might have the numbers wrong. 79% of pastors live sermon to sermon.
Mm.
I think what happens is when you live sermon to sermon, and you live paycheck to paycheck, it's stressful. You're not able to get ahead. If you live paycheck to paycheck, you're not able to go on vacation. You know, something bad happens. I read some stats that like half of adults said they had a $400 emergency care room visit. They'd have to figure out a way to pay for it. They don't have it available. Mm-hmm. Half of all adults in America. So then when you look at pastors, they're really preaching from sermon to sermon. And so it affects their relationships. And I talked to one pastor. He's an IT he owns an IT business. And he said he works every night of the week. And so when he gets home, he's dead tired, doesn't have time to study. He's wasted from that day. And so what he does is he gets up early Saturday morning and he studies all day Saturday. 12 hours, sometimes 15 hours, sometimes well into Sunday morning, and he gets up at 6 a.m. and he gets ready for it. And so for him, I look at guys like him, and I go, well, how can we help create a sort of system to where sermons aren't microwavable dinners? They're this marinated steak that has been, you know, seasoned for months now, and this pastor knows he's going to talk about grace. He knows he's going to be dealing with grace for 3 weeks. And so he sees something in the newspaper. He comes across something online or a story or someone tells him a story, and he's able to kind of file that away, add illustrations, add points. Maybe the Lord speaks to him in his quiet time. He's able to kind of build a series over 3 months, 6 months, 8 months, instead of, you know, 3 hours, if you will.
Right.
And so that's why we created these sermon calendars, to really help pastors with a big picture view. So we took our series, our products, and we laid out the entire year. And so what's called the Storyteller, it's a topical series calendar. We have one called the Teacher, which is a book-by-book for guys that prefer going from Colossians to Ephesians. And then we have a Youth and a Kids. And we actually have our 2017 versions coming out the first week of October. So we're really jazzed about it, really excited. It's by far the most popular thing on our site, for sure.
Hmm. Okay, so walk me through the rest of the sermon series planner resource. You talk about naming your series and artwork and how to promote it. Walk me through those specific things.
Sure. So you're using your text as the big idea. You're identifying how many weeks will the series last. You're writing down the passages that address the felt need that you're going with. And then you kind of curate, have somebody in your team. Find articles, pop cultural references of things that are relatable to the series. And then you go into creative mode with your team, and you can answer some of those questions. You name your series. I think we get really carried away with names sometimes. We've been guilty of this. I think we've all been guilty of this. We call it something, you know, trying to be abstract or creative, and it just doesn't really hit home. I think a really good series has a really simple message, clear message, focused message. And so we get our names for our series from pop culture references, humorous examples, maybe an illustration. Sometimes, man, we just do it simple. We do it. We have a series called Clean, and it's just really clean and simple. It's not fancy, but visually, aesthetically, it really communicates what we're trying to communicate spiritually on that level. So you name your series. In the planner, we have all kinds of like little questions and places for you to work out with your team creatively. And then you say, what images do you want to use in the artwork, in our design? What images would be good for this? We use Shutterstock, we use Unsplash, we use Pexels.com, all these different libraries. Lightstock, if you're using, we don't use Lightstock for our products because of licensing things. We love the guys at Lightstock, though, Josh and John Bailey. But if you're a church, Lightstock, man, it's hard to beat Lightstock Images. They've done a phenomenal job of creating and curating faith-based imagery. And then, you know, then you have to ask yourself, how do we want to promote this message? How do we want to promote this series? Once you've established the sort of visual palette, the logo, I like something that's simple because then you can put it on social media. You can put it on a T-shirt. You can put it on a postcard. You can put it on a screen. It doesn't matter. It's just really easy to make it, you know, stamp it on any medium available. So that's kind of where we start, man. I know it sounds really simple. But, you know, we get so busy, Carl. Just we put our head down and go. I think sometimes it's just better to get back to a simple process, simple steps, and we'll find that if we just can do that, we'll be a lot more efficient. Because you and I and everyone listening, you get so busy, and we forget sometimes that it doesn't have to be overcomplicated. It doesn't have to be that hard. It can be simple. It can be efficient and still be effective.
Man, that's really good. Now, I've been in countless series planning meetings, both where we've planned months, even years in advance, and somewhere we're planning week of, sermon to sermon, like you said. And I can definitely jump in and give benefits myself to give some tips on why it's important, why it's beneficial to plan ahead, and maybe a different way to ask this is, like you said, living sermon to sermon. But I also think another thing to bring up, and I'd love for you to speak to this, is if we plan so far out ahead, or if we're months and even maybe a year or more ahead in our planning, then the other ministries in our church can work to their best ability too. What I mean by that is the media guys have more time to make incredible video content, grab incredible stories, or the web guys have time to promote it, or the marketing team has time to push it on social media, etc. So I think that planning is going to be beneficial in multiple areas of your church. Speak to that for me.
Oh, sure. I think we've all been at a church or serve somewhere where the pastor calls us Saturday afternoon and has a brilliant idea that they want to do, you know, tomorrow morning, early service. And you're scrambling and you're canceling dinner plans to try to change something up. God is not bound by us. I mean, God's not bound by us. And he reserves the right. But most of the time, I like planning. And if God wants to step in and there's a moment, there's a season, something happens locally, we can pause. We can step back and we can all pull together. But for the most part, planning really helps everybody. And here's the thing that I've noticed too, Carl. Pastors, a lot of times they'll preach 51 weeks of the year and the other week goes to the youth pastor New Year's, you know, that Sunday after Christmas. and they're always fried, man. You see most of these stats come out, 60% of pastors are currently discouraged or depressed. It's really sad. And I think one of the things that helps, if we can get a planning schedule together, this is a shameless plug. If you use the Ministry Pass calendars, you can look ahead and know, hey, in 3 weeks or 3 months, you're talking about stewardship. And there's a person on your team that has an amazing story about how God supernaturally blessed their life. You know, they have a personal story where they gave sacrificially or they were faithful, and God showed up and did something crazy that they would have never imagined, and they would be good for week 2 of that sermon series. And so you can tap them on the shoulder and and invite them to be on your speaking team 3 months ahead of time. Give them all the time that they need. And so I think pastors really, we do a disservice to ourselves, but not by not inviting more people on our team. I think it's because we feel like, well, it's not going to be up to my standard. It's not going to be good enough. But if we would plan, if we would identify the series we're going to do, we would be able to bring other people in the boat with us on the teaching team permanently and just, you know, one time, you know, one hit wonder type of deal. And we give them the tools and the resources they need to bring a solid message. And so, I think planning is huge for everybody on the team. But I also think pastors can get more people involved in the teaching as well if they would plan farther out than, you know, a week or two.
I think we also have a stigma in church world, too. I don't know where this came from, that the Holy Spirit can only work in the spontaneous moments. Worship leaders or even pastors, well, the Holy Spirit led and I went with it on Sunday morning, which obviously that happens, and we definitely need to move with where the Spirit is moving on a Sunday if he moves us in a different direction. However, I think it's interesting how some church environments, you have to, like I've coached different teams to say, hey, the same Holy Spirit that is working in that Sunday to change something spontaneously is the same Holy Spirit that's going to work in your planning process weeks and months ahead. It's the same Holy Spirit. I'm not saying that something's not going to change spontaneously and the Holy Spirit may lead you in a different place, but you can't be arrogant to say that the Holy Spirit only works in the spontaneous moments. You know, he's there in the planning as well. Do you have any thoughts on that?
Oh, sure. Well, we all know the story of Noah's Ark, right? Noah went out, waited to figure out what the Holy Spirit was going to tell him to do that day. No, God gave him a plan, and he followed. He built the ark.
Good point.
I think a lot of times too, it's weird, Carl. It's so weird. It's so taboo, right? The pastor can only hear from God, and a lot of times it's the last minute for the sermon. But it's totally okay to give someone else a curriculum. For a small group leader, a Sunday school teacher, like that's not taboo whatsoever. And I think we've got to really break down some of those stereotypes, but traditions and sort of this hokey pokey that we can't use series or we can't use calendar, we can't use a curriculum. I actually think that benefits everybody, especially at a smaller church where you can go to two of your volunteer, you know, your team leaders or your other guys on staff, your youth pastor, and say, hey, we're going to be talking about forgiveness in June of next year, and I think you'd be excellent to do one of these weeks. Here's what I'm thinking. Here's some curriculum we're using. Here's some series we downloaded from Ministry Pass or wherever. And you know, can you do this week? And then all of a sudden, we've empowered our team well beyond a few weeks. We've actually set them up to win. I think when they win, when the team wins, everybody wins. The church wins. And believe it or not, the pastor wins.
Yeah. Now, you guys also offer sermon illustrations, even bundles of sermon illustration ideas. What are some reasons why pastors should use illustrations in their messages?
Oh, man. You know, I forgot who it was that said this, but I read the other day that 34% of Jesus' time in the New Testament was spent on telling stories. So a third of Jesus' words in the New Testament are parables. And, you know, we tell parables today. We just call them sermon illustrations. And I think sermon illustrations are an excellent tool to use because they can communicate things emotionally sometimes that I'm not able to articulate just talking off the top of my head. I can tell a story that connects or some sort of parable. You know, Jesus in, Mark? But basically he was saying, if you have faith like the grain of a mustard seed, you will say this mountain, move from here to there. You remember him saying that? And he said, it will move. And I always thought it was interesting. You know, Jesus is saying, if you have the faith, you can move a mountain, faith, a grain of a mustard seed. And it never made sense to me. I'm like, I'm growing up in church. I thought, I guess I could move a mountain. But the imagery there is actually really powerful because Jesus is not far from a place. I just read this a few months ago from a place called Herodian. And Herodian is what King Herod called the mountaintop palace that he built to celebrate the victory over the Parthians. And it's interesting because archaeologists have discovered that that mountain was not really a mountain. It was man-made. It was like dirt and terrain that they compiled, and then Herod built this thing on top of it. And so imagine Jesus is teaching crowds of people, and he's talking about, if you have faith of a mustard seed, and he's got this fake mountain that all these people saw Herod build. He said, if you have faith of a mustard seed, you can do greater things than King Herod for the kingdom. So now that story means so much more to me as you know, a believer growing up, but it also means a lot more to those people because it's an emotionally impactful for them. And so that's why we created sermon illustrations and put them on our site so that pastors can communicate the gospel. They can communicate spiritual truths in an emotional, creative, tangible, felt way for the listeners in our congregation. So I feel like I rabbit trailed there for you, but I think sermon illustrations are a powerful tool for us.
What about pop culture? You know, some people have a stigma of, well, don't use the latest and greatest thing, or don't use the most popular thing. And I do think that Christians can kind of go overboard sometimes with the cheesy T-shirts or the, you know, Jesus idol or the, well, you know, different, the Reese's Pieces, King of, you know what I'm saying? Like, I think they can go a little overboard on using pop culture stuff. But let me ask you this. Should pastors preach on popular movies, TV, music, things like that? Why?
You know, I think so. I'm partial because we sell stuff like that. I've quoted a lot of stats. I'm a stats junkie. Like, we do surveys all the time. And we did a survey. We had about 1,200 pastors respond. And basically, it was a simple question. Do you think pastors should preach on pop cultural things like TV, movies, and music? And believe it or not, I was a little surprised, but it was three out of four pastors said, yeah, I think you should. I think it's important. And so when we look at the Bible, culture doesn't inform the Bible. The Bible informs culture. Andy Stanley said one time, he said, culture is like the wind. And you harness that wind to propel you towards things. If you're a boat, you use the sail. You don't spit in the wind and say, I hate the wind. It'll just blow up in your face. But you harness the wind to take you places, to take your people places, whether it be through communication, through series, or whatever. And so I think culture, man, is a powerful thing. You know, especially when the world, like, for instance, the Olympics, when the world watches, so the whole world has been tuned into the Olympics. The election. I mean, this, if you were ever going to do a sermon series about politics, you need to do it in the next 2 or 3 months, you know what I'm saying? And it's very timely relevant. People are concerned. There's this sort of anxiety embedded in the DNA of America about the future, about the candidates. You know, doesn't like her, doesn't like him, you know. This is a great opportunity to say, hey, here's what the Bible says about, you know, the way we should treat others, especially ones that we don't agree with, whether they are Christians or not. Here's how we should respond to people that we disagree with. How we should respond to our community. And so I think pop cultural things are, man, powerful things.
It's interesting that you said that. We just did a recent bumper custom media piece called The Politics of Jesus. It was a sermon bumper for one of our partner churches. And we've had hundreds of churches contact us wanting that specific bumper. They see it online or whatever because it's just so timely. Everybody's jumping all over things like that, politics and popular movies and the Olympics and things like that. So very interesting. All right, so what are some common mistakes that churches make when creating a new sermon series? Are there mistakes that they make?
You know, I think one of the common mistakes is we preach the wrong series at the wrong time, bro. We do a series about giving in January when everyone's bank accounts have been depleted from Christmas.
Yeah.
You know,
would you have to be aware of the sort of seasonal holiday opportunities? I think the mistakes that we made, I made mistakes earlier, I said, where I saw a cool graphic and then tried to build a series around it. I think, you know, that's probably a mistake, depending on who you are. Doing a series too long, not everyone is Mark Driscoll and can talk about Luke for 2.5 years. I'll just say that.
Nice.
And honestly, I think it's a mistake not to do series. I do think that the series allow you to really dive in on a topic. I think a lot of times people think if I do a series, I'm watering it down. I actually think it's quite the opposite. You can drill down even further because you park the bus for a moment and you drill down. I like to think of series like Marvel does their universe. You know, everything's connected, but each movie is a standalone movie. Each movie has a standalone story in the Marvel universe, and a series is the same way. It's a universe on a topic or a theme or a concept, and each sermon is standalone, but it complements the universe. It complements the theme. And so I think as long as we remember that, as long as we don't try to overcomplicate things when we're doing series and try to get fancy, I think we're going to do well.
Look at you answering questions with pop culture references.
Boom.
I tell you. Boom, right there. All right, so hey, go ahead.
I was going to say one more thing about the illustrations that I think is important that I forgot to say. Sermon illustrations really help archive the listener's imagination. So
yeah.
A lot of times if you're in a message, pastor says some really great things, and then he has this powerful illustration or a funny illustration. 3 weeks from now, you probably don't remember 95% of what he said, but you do remember that illustration. You remember the point that went with it. So I think illustrations serve as these sort of archival reminders in the listener's mind. Yeah. Help them. It helps carry the sermon beyond that moment. I'll say that.
That's a good point. So how do you brand a series so it's both biblical and applicable to everyone that's listening in the audience?
Well, you know, I think there's, you know, the little tension sometimes between some camps think you can only be biblical, you can't be practical, you can't be relevant. I think you can be both. They're not mutually exclusive. And I think really, Carl, you stay grounded in the Word. You let the gospel inform a lot of the content, and then the creatives are informed by God's Word. The creatives are informed by the felt need. So it really doesn't have to be complicated. It doesn't have to be messy. It really can be simple. What does God want to speak to our congregation? What are the felt needs? What should we call it? What is the concept? What sort of imagery do we want to use? How do we want to brand this from a logo, from a look, from a feel? What does our stage design look like? And then from there, how do we promote this out to our people? I mean, literally, we just wrote a new resource just now, seven-step sermon. I don't know what that's called. But
all right, so there may be church leaders listening that say, yeah, that's great, but I don't have the team to pull off what you're talking about. Or I encounter these churches, too, that are unsure what kind of team to even put together to accomplish their vision. So what types of people does a church need to pull off a compelling series?
Man, that's a great question. Well, compelling doesn't always mean professional. Let me say that. You can be a church of 60 and have a compelling, impactful message and series, and it not be, you know, banners everywhere, road signs everywhere, big community outreach type of thing. I think you start with the basics. Yeah, it happened, you know, what is the felt need? Again, I keep going back to that, but what's the felt need? What are you trying to answer? And from there, then you let other volunteers get involved. I mean, you know, we had volunteers when I was youth pastor. I had a girl that researched for me. If she's not going to get there and preach, that just wasn't her. She would refuse to even lead a prayer publicly for the people she was that shy. But she was an amazing researcher. And she would, any topic, any, like, pop cultural reference, anything, I could say, hey, Cassie, can you look this up? And she would come back and give me like 5 different articles to read. So you can have that type of person. You can have your designer, or you could partner with guys like yourself or Ministry Path and download imagery, download graphics. I can name 10 other companies out there that do something like that, where you don't have to have a full-time person. There's really a lot of great, practical, efficient resources out there for churches, especially with smaller budgets.
That's true. I was going to say that, too. Inexpensive, too. That really no church right now should have any excuse for not grabbing good content. I mean, both of our ministries, Worship House Media, I mean, all kinds of ministries out there that you can get quality stuff for inexpensive, a few dollars now, where a few years ago you couldn't. Now, custom stuff might be a little bit higher. So it depends on what you want to do or where you want to be at. But both of our ministries, Worship House, we all do this, kind of off the shelf stuff that's really inexpensive for churches with a lower budget too. So yeah, that's definitely options. There's definitely options out there for all kinds and sizes, even if they can't afford their own team. So that's good insight. All right. So how do you make your sermons easier to remember? Illustrations was one you gave us that, but maybe what are the benefits to setting up your preaching calendar in a series format?
I think it's 4 things. The sermon series function as mental reminders for your church.
Yeah.
Hey, we're talking about grace for the next 4 weeks. They're already sort of framed. You know, I said I love surveys earlier. One of the reasons why I love surveys, for all this little business behind the curtains trick, you do a survey, and sometimes I already know the answer, and then you reveal the survey to your people, to your audience. And then a lot of times you sell them something related to the survey. And what you've done with the survey is you've framed their sort of mindset about something. You've set them up, essentially, to be thinking about this before you even sell anything. And that's what sermon series do today. They really set people up to be anticipating this kind of talk, this type of series. Another thing is series allow you to go deeper in God's Word. I said that earlier. Number 3, the third thing is series help pastors be better prepared. We've talked about that, but I can't stress that enough. It's easier for a pastor to be prepared if you're doing series, if you get ahead. And the 4th, it really allows you to create momentum, which can lead to growth. You know, if you're going from one series to the next, man, it really, momentum is a powerful thing. And it's, when you got momentum on your side, you can do no wrong. When you don't have momentum on your side, it's like nothing sticks to the wall. And I think sermon series just create this sort of rhythm from a content standpoint, from an expectation standpoint. They create this rhythm for your church that you're able to harness and utilize some momentum, especially in the fall and Easter seasons.
That's true. And I was thinking of team, too. It really sets up your team well. If they're in a groove of a series, they can plan out. They can know what their expectations are. It kind of sets up your team members well, too.
Oh, yeah.
Well, man, thank you so much for sharing this content with us. Put a stamp on our conversation today. Wrap it up for us. How do we create a compelling sermon series?
You go to the show notes and you download the sermon
That's
series
right.
planner. I think if you want to create an unforgettable sermon experience, you've got to get other people on board. You've got to the whole team has to work together. If you're listening to this and you're a one-man show, you're a one-man band, you've got to get out of that habit. Maybe you're a really great teacher. You're a really great speaker. The thing that's made you successful so far that's gotten you here will actually be the thing that prevents you from growing and moving forward. So if you're a phenomenal designer and you're the one that always does the designs, I think in order to do incredible series moving forward, to reach more people promotionally, you've got to get other people on the bus and let them help you and empower them so that instead of one or two people working on a series, you've got 11 or 12. I think that's really how a series can ride home, is when everyone's bought in, everyone's involved, everyone's collaborating, and everyone's benefiting.
Well, how can we keep up with you? How can we connect with Ministry Pass? How can we get involved?
You can follow me at Justin Trapp. That's with two P's. And then we're getting ready to give away our big push, Carl. We're giving away a free sermon series. We partnered with Mark Batterson, New York Times bestselling authors, Circle Maker. He just released the sequel to his book, In a Pit with a Lion on a Snowy Day. It's called Chase the Lion. And we built out a sermon series with Pastor Mark. And so it's got everything a pastor and a team could ever use. In fact, I know how it is, especially if you're a small team. He's like, man, how do we produce amazing series all the time? Sometimes it helps if you can do a series, you can borrow from someone else's or download, something from Worship Alps Media, from Ministry Path. And so if you're going to download anything from us, I think you download this series. It really helps your people. So, again, starting with what is the felt need? If you feel like there's a vision that you want to communicate to your church, to your people, or maybe they need to dream bigger, this is the series that you want to do. So put that in your back pocket. It's totally free, though. You can put I'll give you the link, Carl. And we partner with Pastor Mark on that. And there's a ton of stuff, bumper videos, countdown videos, graphics, promotional stuff, social media stuff, sermon guides, even teaser design. So everything you need to pull off a pretty great series.
All right, so if you're listening, you want all the show notes, all the links, PDFs, all that good stuff. We're going to post all that to 1230media.com/068, as in episode number 68. That's where to go for everything that Justin's talking about. Man, Justin, thank you so much for hanging out. We just got into so much today, and I really appreciate you sharing your insight with us, brother.
Hey, thanks, man. Thanks for having me.
Hi, I'm Mark Batterson, lead pastor of National Community Church in Washington, D.C. Want to take a moment and just thank Ministry Paths for the role that they play in the kingdom. Here's the bottom line. Church ought to be the most creative place on the planet. I believe that. I also believe that we don't need to reinvent the wheel. You know, you can't come up with an original idea every single week. Sometimes it's just good stewardship to beg, borrow, and steal from someone else. There are some incredible ideas, and one of the things I appreciate is that Ministry Paths is really a clearinghouse where you can take an illustration or a graphic or an entire series, put your fingerprint on it, and leverage it in your church. And so a huge thanks to my friends at Ministry Paths, and just an encouragement to check out the resources that are available to you. God bless.
Wrapping things up here, you can follow Justin on Twitter at Justin Trapp. Trapp is spelled T-R-A-P-P. At Justin Trapp is his Twitter handle. Our powerhouse marketing guru, Kat Hunter, from our team, is going to set you up with all that, his website, his social media accounts, free transcripts, links, PDFs, and more. Just go to 1230media.com/068, as in episode number 68, for all the freebies.
On the next Church Media Podcast.
Next week on the show, Jenny Catron stops by. Jenny is the author of the book, The Four Dimensions of Extraordinary Leadership. She's a writer, speaker, and leadership expert. We had the opportunity to hang out at SALT Conference a few months ago. She clearly has a passion to inspire, equip, and encourage leaders at all levels. You're going to gain some great wisdom from Jenny on how to lead your teams well. Don't miss that. My special thanks to audio sensei David Michael Hyde, our producer extraordinaire. David is a composer and music producer for film and digital media. You can find him and his mad audio ninja skills at davidmichaelhyde.com. Thank you for listening this week. Go out there, guys, and create some incredible experiences this weekend. I'll catch you next week.
Thanks for listening to the Church Media Podcast.
Please take a minute today to rate and review the show in iTunes.
Catch you right here next week for another episode of the Church Media Podcast.